welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the one, the only, Reverend Godfather, a.k.a. the Martinsburg Madman, a.k.a. this show's frontman and main host. This is our second episode, or should I say third episode, of our four-state Comic-Con Hagerstown 2024 series. And if you haven't listened to the previous episodes in this series, feel free to go back and download those episodes or stream them live on your platform of choice. Yet to get things started in this particular episode, let me say this is not just a interview episode, it's a compilation interview. Why do I say that? Because we spoke to several artists in Artist Alley to get their opinion on the popularity and use of AI imagery and their thoughts on those that might be elitists and or gatekeepers as to who should appreciate art, and that they also have the opinion on comic book art and graffiti art or art similar to those styles shouldn't be considered art. So special thanks to Dan Noakes, George from PND Studios, Nick Davis, and Jason So for giving me your opinions and having a lot of great thoughts. Now, the other thing I want to bring up is that I had to boost the audio in regards to this. So if it's a little hard on the ears, I apologize. So either way, hey, Tony, cue up the interviews and let's get going.
We'll be right back with more of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
First things first, I am here with...
This is Dan Noakes of 21st Century Sand Shark Studios, creator of The Paranormals, The Pistoliers, Adam and Eve, Bizarre Love Triangle, The Zombie Apocalypse, Impossible Space Tales of the Last Pit Stop, Kevin, and Chicken, USDA Rejected and Battered and Fried.
Okay, a couple of things that I want to talk to a lot, especially the indie artists like yourself,
sure,
about a couple of things that are going on in the hobby and what other people are maybe saying or what your take is. First is your take on the whole aspect of AI art. What is your opinion on AI art?
I'm of a couple of different minds. As a indie creator and somebody that concentrates almost exclusively on making my own individual type of comics and an individual type of art, I still don't like it, but I don't feel threatened by it as much as other people are, in the aspect of I'm in a niche of a niche, and so it doesn't affect me directly. However, it's general as a, like, somebody who sees solidarity with other artists that are trying to find work, especially through work for hire and working on other, like, IP and stuff like that. I'm definitely, like, incredibly concerned about, like, the future of artists in the industry, because I don't trust corporations. I don't trust large corporate entities to sit there and use this in an ethical way to where artists will still have a job in 20 years. I mean, we've seen it in the past with, you know, other forms of technology. The first thing they do is eliminate whatever workforce they don't seem necessary in that particular line of work. And I don't see at some point that, you know, like Disney or any other company is not going to do the same with AI.
Just to be clear, thinking like, companies such as Disney or Wizards of the Coast saying, hey, we'll save, instead of paying Dan $300, yeah, I might be lowballing, $300 for a piece of art for our work, we could just spend $100 for AI to do it, or $0 on AI.
Yeah, again, the euphemistic terms are already starting to pop up. I mean, I guess the best one is like AI artist or prompt engineer, I've heard get thrown around, and that pretty much tells you right there that they're trying. I don't know if you can bleep this out, whether it's a new form of bullshit job that's come up that they can give to some guy for minimum wage or not much more after that, for, you know, 1 to 5% of the workforce they had before with individual artists of many different types. The only saving grace is right now, AI art is in its infancy, and we've all seen the inherent flaws both structurally and especially within comics, with its lack of ability to come up with a comic that effectively tells a story. We've got some time to figure this out. They can't replace us tomorrow, but at the rate that the technology is growing, I love this. At best, I'm cautiously optimistic for myself. At worst, I'm dreading the future for many of my contemporaries and associates and people and my friends in the industry.
Now, the other thing I wanted to get your opinion on, as I'll be getting other artists' opinion, is I've been hearing by some, call it snobs, if you will, to put it politely, that think the only true, that someone like yourself is not an artist. The only type of art is like Leonardo da Vinci or Van Gogh. So what are your takes on when someone says you are not an artist?
That's nothing new I haven't heard for, like, you know, since I was a kid. And basically, it's, I'll put it this way, it's better now than it was 20, 30 years ago, where you're like, I was in high school in the 90s. I graduated in 1994. And, you know, I would tell almost all of them, so what do you want to be? It's like, I want to break into comics. And they're like, you can't make money in that. And it's not a real art. It's neither a real art or it's not a commercial way to be successful or viable. And now I definitely think the attitude of that is definitely switched. Is there a prevailing idea that when you're doing it for, especially when you're, say, like, you're engaging in, I'd say, stuff that's of an IP nature, like somebody does exclusively fan art prints or Marvel and DC stuff, and accepting a paycheck for that, or, you know, selling that on their own, is the motivation for art the same as somebody that's coming up with, say, some sort of abstract piece that's doing it purely for the intent of art? That's debatable. I often side with the notion as the guy, I guess, who did the toilet art in the early 20s. The intent of art makes it art, from that aspect.
I know, I've told people, I don't know if I spoke to you about it, is that I was a combination of mad and kind of the aspect of why didn't I think of that first, is because you had this story, this was, I think, maybe prior to 2020, is that you had this person selling quote-unquote invisible art, meaning there was nothing on the pedestal, literally nothing, and she was selling this stuff for hundreds upon thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And there's that aspect of there's nothing there, and, well, P.T. Barnum said that there's a sucker born every minute. I'm mad that people are falling for this, and I'm also mad that I didn't think of this stuff first. Yeah. But
I guess it falls to the same person that took the banana and nailed it to the wall or something like that. I'm not saying modern and abstract art does not have its flaws, especially with the input of a market that's there, that now that sits there and artificially could, like, will raise up certain artists and other people that say, you know, you would consider talented or gifted or have a unique vision, never get the spotlight. The market is dangerously askews the notion of what art is. That being said, I would rather have that. I would rather have what are the, I guess, art that you can interpret what is art, and I can interpret what is art, and everybody around here has their different interpretation or their different vision of what art is, and that's great. I'd rather have that loose personal connection to it rather than some committee getting together and giving objective standards to what art is.
The main reason is, or the main reason for this conversation I'm getting from you and others that I'll be talking to over the course of the weekend is that the conversation I've had with the snobs is that, oh, you like comic book art or you like graffiti. I'm talking about someone like along the lines of Banksy or does something along those lines. Oh, you like comic book art or you like graffiti art. You should be excluded from going from to any museum. You should not be allowed to be appreciating any type of art ever.
Then you have those two guys like Basquiat or even like some of the artisans like your Warhols and stuff like that. And I know a lot of people don't like Warhol. And their opinions are valid to me. There are definitely criticisms of those modern arts, say even graffiti art. Like there's some beautiful murals and beautiful graffiti art, and then there's guys that just basically puts a tag on the wall and they say like, that's art. And like, you know, and even on mine, like I have doubts to their intentions. But that being said, I believe graffiti art, like any form of art, has the potential to be both good and bad. It's up to each individual person to make value judgments based on their expertise and based upon their own innate feelings and opinions on art, to whether that is artistic or not. But I think, and that being said, that graffiti can be, or you know, like street art can be, you know, artistic. It can be art. Comic books can be art. Definitely the skill and the craft is there for both of those to be, you know, valid arguments.
That's what I tried to get across this gentleman, but he was, again, being that snob that, oh, you're, in essence, gutter trash, you shouldn't, you know, basically he was being both elitist and, you know, that aspect of, I look down upon you because my opinion is better than yours. I'm better than you because I like this.
I often find that people of that have that opinion because they buy into a popular, let's say, Western canon of what is art and what is not, based upon, I guess, like hundreds of years of, I guess for like accepted wisdom or accepted knowledge rather than. I have a more deconstructionist approach to it, a more taking this, like, think, making my own value judgment. Do I think this is art? Do I think this is craft? How good do I think it is? And sometimes I base that criteria on, you know, just pure skill and craft and knowledge of anatomy and foreshortening and all that. But sometimes I see that stuff I see the most, you know, beautifully rendered, perfect pieces that don't move or stir me in any certain way, and then I see very abstract, basic pieces. Sometimes I would say, even amateurish, that I consider high pieces of art and beautiful works to me because it's managed to stir something in me on a visceral and emotional level.
So, Dan, I thank you so much in regards to your opinions.
Thank you.
So,
let's do this. All right. We are, this time around, we are here with...
George, I do PND Studios. I'm an artist. If you like puns and bad decisions, you're in the right place.
So, like with the other folks that we've been having with this discussion, and we're getting their artist thoughts and opinions on, first topic is, what are your thoughts on the whole beginnings or the idea of AI art?
I don't like it. I don't like AI art. It's taking away art from us, and everyone's like saying, well, you know, they're taking bits and pieces and this and this and this, and they're making something new. No, you're actually plagiarizing, and you're taking away art from hardworking people, because now you're getting to the point where you're in the movie industry, and they're doing everything AI, and they're not going to have people working in the background as sidekicks. I'm like, no, that's the same with AI art. It's you're taking away all this hard work from artists because they want to do something cheap, affordable, and free than having to pay one of us to do something for them.
The other
topic I'm trying to get opinions from, especially independent artists like yourself, is what are your thoughts of the, granted, I understand the issues and the controversy in regards to modern art and how it's used, but your thoughts on the elitists and the gatekeepers that say that folks like yourself and other comic artists are not real artists. They're what they do is not real art. Those damn you, voice of God. Why? I'm trying to get a question out here.
Hi, Andrew.
And thank you, Andrew, for everything. So, but the thought is those same elitists and gatekeepers are also saying anybody that appreciates the art that you do should not be allowed in museums to appreciate other art, should be not be counted as part of the community.
Well, you have to break up art as a whole because there's different artists. You got the museum art and then you got what we do as comic art. Now, you got people that do their own unique thing, and then you got people that do parodies, like myself. I do parodies, and it's under parody law and all that fun stuff. But technically, it could be museum, it could not. But when you get those gatekeepers saying it's not art, you have to first look back at Keith Haring. He did graffiti art, and you get people saying Keith Haring's art is not art because he did graffiti art. Look in the museum, look how much money he made. Look how much money and look how he became famous within a matter of years in the 80s. I mean, eventually, this is going to be... you get good artists. You got Frank Cho, which kind of broke the barrier. He does paintings. I mean, you got all of these famous comic artists. Stan Lee. And it's just... It's one step at a time. Just one step at a time, because eventually we're going to make it. They're going to have a museum of comic art, and we're going to have all of our works of art on a beautiful wall for all to enjoy and see. It's just got to take time.
I think this was maybe about, I want to say, close to 10 years ago when I went to DC just to see the museums and all that. There was comic art. I think it might have been in one. I don't think it was the Museum of Art, but it was in, I think, the Copyright Museum. They had a whole section of it.
Yeah.
The Art Museum in Winchester, I think every year when it comes around, has a Alex Ross exhibit.
Oh, yeah.
And there's always a turnout for that. I'm not knocking Frank Cho, Alex Ross. Heck, Jim Lee does one hell.
Jim Lee is amazing.
And it's the aspect of you're discrediting the artists that are out there that right. are making it popular, making their, I wish he was here, I would speak to him, Ken Hunt.
Ken Hunt, yes, that, I love Ken Hunt.
In regards to, we would probably had an, this episode would probably have been like an hour long with us, me and him talking about details.
Yes.
And especially with, if he was here, Gabriel, I got some work off of him, very detailed work that, in regards to it. So that's why we're doing this. So,
well, you have to go back to the origin. The origin of comic art goes back to the 50s, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. But what made it very popular was two artists in the 50s and 60s, Roy Lichtenstein and Andy Warhol, who decided to do paintings of scenes of comic art and do pop art and place it on the wall. And he said, okay, that's art. Campbell's soup cans, that's art. Roy Lichtenstein's like, boom, pow, a lady crying saying, I hope my boyfriend calls me today. That was art, and it made it popular. And then since then, it's just like slowly gaining appeal, but yet it's not unless you're in that generalized category, which kind of puts us like, what are we, chopped liver?
Yeah, and though, not to correct you, but granted, a lot of people, if they get this goes out to a wide audience and they make it this far, they're going to say, well, Stan Lee was not an artist. Granted, it was John, not Ramada. But Stan Lee, without his stories and the person that he worked with on the art side, comics would not have had that boom.
Nope.
Not to mention, back when I was a kid, I don't know if when George was a kid, Bob Ross was a thing.
Bob Ross.
And
yes.
With a few years ago, when they put Bob Ross on Twitch, I think it was for his birthday or something like that, that channel went through the roof because you had a whole new younger audience experiencing Bob Ross for the first time. And it, from what I hear, the chat, pretty much their minds were blown experiencing Bob Ross for the first time. That's granted, Bob Ross did what he did for the masses, for everybody to appreciate, and so they could be artists themselves.
Correct. I mean, if you want to go back far, I mean, look at what Walt Disney did. Walt Disney kind of made animation popular for the masses, 30s, 40s, and 50s, 60s, and then sort of did comic art, and then you get all these other comics like Will Eisner, you know, and then people like that, and it's like, oh, signature's out, but he doesn't work for Disney. He does all his art. It's like comic art, World War II, war, violence, you know. It's each their own. Each generation has their own different thing. And it just has to kind of pick up the right people. Now you look at simple things like animation. Back in the 80s and 90s, wonderful backgrounds, beautiful artwork. And now it's like we're in the lazy generation where it's like, simplified, no longer 30-minute episodes, short 10 to 15-minute episodes, and make them into like a 1 hour or a 30-minute show into shorts. I'm like, I grew up with the good stuff, you know?
I had a conversation with let me put it like this. His style was along the lines of Dexter's Lab,
yeah.
Powerpuff. There's not knocking that type of art, but his art was more geared towards the, like, those cartoons for the younger, his independent Correct. Comics was that. And his mentality in regards to that side was, his art that he did was on par with someone like Jim Lee.
Correct.
Like, I don't mean, I'm not knocking it, no. His art was better than Jim Lee.
Yes.
And a lot of my opinion was like, the thing is, you're not going, if they want to do a kid's book with the X-Men characters, yeah, they're going to contact you and you're going to be doing it, but if they want more of a detailed quality, they're not coming to you.
No.
They're going to Jim Lee. They're going to Romana Sr., Jr. They're going to the folks that actually do detail art, and they're going to skip over you. They're going to, or if you want to go with some of the indie folks that, depending on the order I put these in, they're going to go with someone like Jason Sue, or, you know, Ken Hunt.
We're going to go with the people that are big and are well-known and that have a lot of popularity. And then they're going to look at us and it's like, oh, but you're not Ken Hunt. So why should we buy it from you? Or why should we get a comic from you? And it's our job to kind of promote and get to that level of Ken Hunt. But it just doesn't happen overnight.
True. True. Any last words?
If you're an artist and you want to be famous, just keep doing what you're doing. Even stick art is art. So don't knock it.
All right. Depending on the order, we may be back. I am here with...
Nick Davis of Always Stirs, creator of the Night Guardians and Mr. Britton's Let Hunt Monsters.
And first off, before we begin, depending on the order, thank you for the... letting us record the panel, and listeners at home, if I have not posted that panel, please hit that follow or subscribe button. That way you are able to at least catch the episode featuring Nick when it drops. If it hasn't already, if it has, go back and listen to it and let us know what you thought if there's a comment section down below. Now, being an independent creator and occasional artist, according to your sign, and your sales pitch to the fellow ticket holders that were here earlier. I'm around getting opinions from independent creators and artists. First thing is, what are your thoughts about AI and the whole aspect of budding technology in regards to it?
Well, Chris, I appreciate you coming to talk to me today, and it's been a blast seeing you walk around, and thank you for recording the panel. That's really cool. I saw you in the back there. Same, you didn't ask any questions. I thought you were going to, like, hold both hands up and scream at me. Anyway, you asked me about my thoughts about AI. Okay, the shame about AI is I don't understand why we're using it in the creative area. AI to me is basically, why aren't we using it to basically help us dig ditches or basically solve math problems, that sort of thing? Why is AI being used in the area of basically creative items? So my feelings of seeing AI art or AI writing out there is, it's cheating a little bit, it's theft, because these gleam from basically creative works are already out there. So artwork is pulled from artists, writings pulled from various writers, and it's mismatched into this huge, conglomerous, soulless piece. And people try to pass it off as art, and it's like, no, that's you're stealing from an artist. You're stealing from a writer. You're stealing from a creator who's put his blood, sweat, tears, sleepless nights sometimes, and a little bit of his id, his phobias and his fears into that piece of artwork. And you're asking the AI to basically draw it for you? That's wrong, man. Support artists. Artists will help you out. They will draw what you want. They will draw what they know you want. So I've had this weird, soulless creation that usually has like six fingers or something.
Yeah, depending on the artist, I won't say the artist. What I mean is, if you know that if that artist is your friend, sometimes they will do the art for a box of Pop-Tarts or pizza and beer. So I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a great believer. And if you actually listen to my panel, like, basically you should always pay the people that do the work for you first, before you get paid for your work. I always great believe that is artists will starve on exposure books. So always pay for their time when you can. If you have a good collaboration, like you explained there, Chris, then basically work with it, make it work. Don't try to exploit it. Try to be sensitive to their needs and their time as well. Make sure if you're doing a cut of a book, the person is doing the artwork. So trust me, if they're doing the artwork for the comic book, they're doing the big major lifting over your writing. You're just doing the selling and that kind of thing. Make sure they have a bigger cut than you do. My biggest rule with any independent work is, you created it, you get paid last.
Yeah, as someone, to reiterate what Nick has stated, even though I jokingly said sometimes somebody will work for a box of Pop-Tarts or pizza and beer, yes, if they're friends, but if they want $10, $20 for it, yes, pay them $10, $20 what they're worth. Don't pretty much abuse that relationship at all. The other thing I would like to hear your opinion on, mm-hmm. is the aspect of the elitists and gatekeepers that are out there that say folks that, like yourself, that are in comic creation, that comic art is not real art, and therefore, meaning that their view of art is, only real art is Van Gogh, Da Vinci, like in essence, the greats, or stuff that is pretty much fine art that's in the museum. And in some cases, Bob Ross can be pushing it as art. But and if you like stuff like actual graffiti art, whether it be Banksy or someone similar to Banksy, yeah. or comic book art like you or Jason or the many creators that have attended Farscape, you should not. If you enjoy such creators, you shouldn't be allowed in the comics, the art space. You shouldn't be allowed in museums, etc., etc., etc.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Little do people know that Da Vinci actually was a cartoonist. If you actually look at some of his works and his drawings, he's pretty much in that area. I always find the question you're asking is, what is art? Art is something that subjectively has no value, but basically elicits an emotion inside you. If you look at a comic book and that's eliciting an emotion review of the artwork that's inside it, it's art. It's as simple as that. We don't read it just because of the story. We read books, comic books because of the art inside that story. The emotion on the panel, it's eliciting a response. Eliciting an emotion response is basically the pure form of art, no matter what it is. Now, if you look at some of the great classics, or some of the classics back in the day, that's the thing, and you look at some of the artwork they're doing, I like to call it, they're doing fan art. You think, like, you know, Raphael painting the angel rising is basically him going, oh, I'm just going to paint that angel. He's done that. He was commissioned by somebody who said, I want you to paint a picture of an angel rising people from the dead. It's a fan art type thing. It's a commission. So, great art and art, there is separations. I believe the comic book art is the great American art form. You cannot look at a Kirby piece and go, well, that's crap. Because you look at the emotion it elicits, the feelings it elicits in you. That's what art is. It doesn't matter if it's basically a classic oil. It doesn't matter, basically, it's done with a scribbled pencil, or it's done with basically sequential art in a comic book form. Well, I do agree, sequential art is a little bit different to pin-up art, because it's a lot harder to do a story than it is to draw one character looking really cool. Art is, and it elicits an emotional response inside the viewer. That's what art is.
And sometimes, again, I'm not knocking, it's like, you have artists like Ken Hunt, Jason Hsu, mm-hmm. who's down the aisle from you. And last, when I was, I don't think it was here, but he was at Harrisburg last year. His artist name is Gabriel. I'm not sure what his last name is. They do very detailed work.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I enjoy Gabriel's work is because he always puts, like, very fine detail, and there's always, like, an Easter egg somewhere in there that you're like, when you see it, you're like, oh, wow, look at that. Look at that. I didn't notice that before. Or one of the pieces that he did was, like, an alien invasion, and it's Steve Urkel holding this very big weapon, mm-hmm. and on it it says, "Did I do that 3000? Without, if you look at it and you know who Steve Urkel is, you're like, oh, it's Steve Urkel. But when you get a closer look, you see it's called the "I Did That, Did I Do That 3000?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's, there's humor. There's that little bit.
Yeah.
Or if you see someone like Jason, again, Jason
Sue,
who's here today at this event, you have folks like myself or any other guest ticket holders that might be here wondering how he did it or mm-hmm. what his process was, or even yourself,
yeah.
how to create comics, how they did that without that appreciation. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, well, you say, I mean, you know, every comic book artist is very different. I'm going to use Jason Sue for an example there. His stuff, if you really look at some of his pages, are insanely hyper detailed to the point that basically you're seeing little things popping out at you all the time, and that's absolutely amazing. It sort of reminds me of Mobius, a French artist, in terms of the detailing and that sort of thing. And I would fully recommend typing in Mobius in your Google browser if you have a chance and check it out, and you see the detailing and the fine art and that sort of thing. So art, as I said before, it always elicits an emotion. As artists, we interpret our works in very different ways. Jason's a very literal, detailed, oriented type guy. Myself, I'm a lot looser. Here's the blam, the emotion in your face type thing. What's the background? Don't worry about the background. You're just looking at the thing that's in the foreground. And it's basically, that's how I see subjugation of art. For you, for example, you did those examples there. All those art pieces you explained and how you explained it, it basically elicited an emotional response in you. And it showed, oh, wow, that's really cool, right? So that's basically, that's art. So, and that's fine. I mean, yeah, if hyper details, loosely lined, or basically really in your face, punchy stuff, that's how art is. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Jason's stuff is absolutely amazing. I look at it and go, holy crap, I wish I could draw like that. I draw a little looser. My backgrounds are not always there all the time, but I do big, punchy, in-your-face type figures because I like to basically punch out the action. I want to feel like the page is punching you in the face. But other pieces of artwork you see, Gus's stuff is absolutely amazing. We've got Jeff Innisrod back down there. He does Marvel work. His characters are beautifully formed. I'm a little bit more loose with my stuff. I'm a very stylized type artist with the teddy bear action art that I do. But I do loosely, almost rubber doll type characters when they fight and that kind of thing. But art in the end of the day, and the artist you explained, the illicit reactions in you, that's art.
Okay. Thank you so much, Nick, and thank you once again for the panel.
Always a pleasure,
Chris. I hope you had a wonderful time this show.
Thank you. So,
first things first, depending on the order, I am here with
Jason So.
And Jason, it's good to meet you once again at the
nice
event.
Nice to see you.
And
nice see
how you. Did your panel go yesterday?
It was awesome. I love panels. I love talking to people. I like getting the word out of the book, and it's a dedicated thing. Fist bumping during a podcast. That's what's up, my guy. Your beard is epic. It's
thanks,
like
man, I appreciate it.
Fucking squirrels live in that thing. What's up?
One of the first, we'll talk about your, even though at Harrisburg we saw a preview, though you book Major Tom versus the
Spiders from Mars. Yep.
We'll get into that in a moment and let you hype that book up.
Okay.
But one of the things that we, this is going to be with some of the other artists I spoke to mm-hmm. this weekend,
mm-hmm.
And one of the things I wanted to get you your opinion on is AI art and what your thoughts about aspect.
First off, I don't consider it art. It's theft. It's bullshit. You're not an artist per se, if you're typing words into a generating machine, what that machine does is steals from other artists, and then you're trying to market it as something that you're not. I really like the fact that you can't trademark, copyright, or own any of it because it's not your art in the first place. So I think it fucking sucks. How about that?
And one of the other things I want to get your opinion on is your thoughts on the elitists and gatekeepers out there that say that comic art is not real art, and the fact that folks that appreciate art like yours and other comic independent creators like Nick Hunt, yourself, and some of the others that are here today at this event, those who appreciate it shouldn't be allowed to appreciate any other type of art, period.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like standoffish, and if people have that opinion, I don't know, like, it's its own thing. If people want to think that, they're more than welcome to. It's not my job to tell them what art is. I know that I'm drawing, and I know that it's art. I'm a production artist, not a fine artist. So usually people like that, with their feet on the ground and their asses in the trenches, are for production. I don't have my head up my ass where I stand on pomp and circumstance. I do work. But if you don't think comic art is art, that's fine too. You know, but if you want to do a draw-off with a fine artist, I'd always accept that. I would. So I try to avoid the nonsense. I don't care what anybody thinks of me, because with or without them, I'm still going to do my comic book art.
And you're going to have folks that buy your work and appreciate your work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
The detail and the time that you have spent doing that. Let's lead into your current book.
Hold on. Can we just... Is this really happening right now? Is she really... She's serenading them. So what a weird thing for a podcast to happen. Here we are. This is live. This is live at Florida State Comic Con.
We have somebody looting. Looting? Is it looting?
You couldn't call it looting. Serenading.
One of the artists here. I'm stealing that.
This just broke out organically on a podcast. So what's up, ladies?
Hi. Yes, I'm causing trouble.
My wife said she'll stab me. Thank you.
But.
My wife said, she was like, if you sell those, I'm going to stab you. Two for my daughter, two for me, two for Patty. But could I squeeze in and get a picture with you ladies really quick?
Let me
pause it. I'm sorry.
Would you mind being my photographer?
Sure.
Stop it for the serenade.
No, like, no problem. No problem.
What happened?
Weird things happen when you attend Florida State Comic Con. That's why we come every year, because weird stuff happens. Now, back in Harrisburg last year, I saw the preview of Major Tom versus the Spiders from Mars,
yes,
which debuted this
yesterday here at 6 p.m.
Florida State,
12 p.m.
So, as you keep saying, Spiders from Major
Tom,
from
Mars. You want me to pitch you?
Yeah,
pitch. I got you, man. Okay, so Major Tom vs. Spiders from Mars is a 50-page graphic novel. It's a one-shot story, man. You get it all in one shot, as you know, because you read it. Thank you. And I pride myself on this one because I really wanted to challenge myself, right? Halfway through this book, first off, the idea from the book came from Chad Bruce, who helped me on the book Invisible. I wanted to do something for him, so I did a picture for him. While I was doing that picture, I was listening to David Bowie, and it inspired me to do the entire book. I didn't want to do a serialized book. I wanted to do a graphic novel one shot, so the fans could get the whole shot in one story and be like, fantastic. And I pride myself on trying to get everybody on the ending. Everybody. Nobody will see it coming.
And to let folks know, Major Tom is a silent character similar to Doom.
A lot like that.
And the story is told from his computer in a way.
Yeah. So everything, it's from ground control, right? Ground control to Major Tom, which is part of the Space Oddity song, which we'll get into that. You're not allowed to use any of that copywritten stuff shit, bro. So it's a love letter to David Bowie. And I use the imaginative side of him from the Spiders from Mars, which were his band. But I took it literal, like, what would a spider from Mars look like? So I did my homework, checked out a bunch of creepy-ass spiders, because spiders are generally, like, gross. So I did my homework. There's a queen and, like, a drone. Not a drone, but, like, a worker spider or whatever you want to call it.
I think it works either way.
It really does. Like, it could be... It's like an ant, you know? It's either going to collect some food for the queen or kill the whatever's coming near it. So the whole story, I just tried to surprise people, and I took the approach of imagination. Like, where could your imagination bring you with this story? And I just was more of a passenger to the story than I was a writer. So I developed the whole story, and then I basically told Patty, you know, what I had in mind. And her, Pat LaMarche and her brother Phil LaMarche helped me with the dialogue. Because I'm an artist, I'm not a writer, so dialogue isn't my strongest suit. So they filled the holes in my work, and it was amazing. Chad Bruce did the lettering, and Cristiano Cruz did the coloring. And we had a bunch, we had editors. Jeremy Ruby, right over there, did the cover colors.
And it will probably be, depending on the order I place this in the episode, because I'm talked to other artists in regards to AI and their opinions. I'll probably stop by his booth and get his...
So stop calling it art. Call it AI images, because it is not art, right? And I'm not being offended to you.
No.
I'm just saying address it for what it is, right? Call it for what it is. It is AI images. It is not AI art. The art is the stuff that the AI imagers take.
I do apologize for that. I think it's,
oh, no, it's
mostly
good,
like when I hear folks talking about it in the commentating community, they say it's that they keep saying AI art, and so it's
no,
from
AI,
my perspective,
AI
it's
images.
Like it's automatic.
Is somebody who uses an AI program, are they an artist or are they a writer?
That's a good question.
Well, answer the question. You're a writer. You're a prompter. You're prompting that machine. There's no part of you that is drawing a single thing. You are writing in there ass-kissing monkeys that stick fingers up their butts, right? Because that's what I figure AI images are. They're just writing shit in there, and then they hit whatever, execute, and it pops up an image. The bullshit about that is this. As fans like you and I,
right?
You can follow me on any social media, and you can see my art. But now, to combat AI theft, I have to put a watermark on my image. I don't have to smash it on there, but I have to put it somewhere on there, because the problem with AI generators is once it sees the watermark, it rejects it. It won't use it. It won't use any part of it. So that's how you combat it. You watermark all your work, which is crap for the fans, right? Like, you don't get to see my art. Like, you see it with this and then jasonso.com. You're like, okay.
And the thing is, as I was talking to Nick.
He's great.
That with folks that are like yourself, that do detailed work. You, Nick, in Harrisburg, there was the creator, Gabriel, that always does detailed work as well, who puts Easter
eggs. He's amazing. He puts
like little Easter eggs and does detailed work. You have fans like myself that will always come to you, to Nick, to him, to buy their work,
right,
and appreciate, and even in some cases ask you, how'd you, even though I might not be an artist myself, how'd you do it, or why'd you do it,
right?
You know, because we might be intrigued of how you managed to do such a thing.
And the process.
Yep. And with AI, I guess, to be on your side.
AI images.
The AI, you can't ask that of an AI image.
Well, I mean, they're going to give you some bullcrap answer and be like, well, it was really, they're going to convolute the answer and make up nonsense and excuses for what they did. So what they're going to say is, oh, well, I have to write these words in the perfect sequence and get just what I want. And, like, you're a writer. Like, right then and there, you just dry snitched yourself. You are a writer and a prompter. You are not an artist in any sense of the word. You know, it's like this. I consider myself an artist, okay? If I write a story, I don't necessarily consider myself a writer. I'm more of a plot kind of guy, right? But I wouldn't call myself a writer, even though I could write. That's why a writer who prompts a machine should never call themselves an artist. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just saying, like, you can't convolute the truth. The truth stands on its own.
Where I'm coming from as a fan, I own a piece of one of original art by John Cassidy.
Okay.
And one of the pages I got is from, like, Alpha Flight or something like that. It's very detailed, and it's the page depicts the person looking through like a telescope, and it has an art scene.
Cool.
I got to meet him one year at Baltimore, and I said, I came up to him and was like, listen, I have to ask, not about, you know, nitpicking like Wolverine or
quote,
like, listen, I own the page, I described it, I said, how'd you do the stars? You know, just to get, you know,
You can't, that's what I'm saying, you can't.
So can I take a guess?
Go ahead.
Did he mask it off and then splatter it?
Yeah, he did. He colored it in black and used white paint with a toothbrush.
I did the same thing. You know about that?
No, me as, not as an artist.
Like that right there, I did the splattering. Same thing. Yep.
And I was like, I did not know that. And that's something you can't ask AI.
No, you can't.
You can only ask, and it allows the fan to be more appreciative of the art and then process the creation. I think that's where we're both coming at,
yeah,
as a fan,
absolutely,
as a creator.
Well, art, AI images are on limited time. So the problem is that once everybody starts watermarking their books or watermarking their images, AI will only have AI to consume. And when that happens, the algorithms get whacked, and that's why they have 11-fingered things. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
you can tell AI because, and I know they say they're getting better, but they're really not. Oh, my God, that is Jonah Jameson, and that is amazing. But it's like that story of the snake that cannibalizes itself.
And it's one of the things that I like about your current book, which dropped yesterday,
Make the
Major
Face.
Tom, and is that it's very detailed. And it's what fans at CU should pick up and appreciate, is that it's detailed.
Yes.
And has a wonderful story to it.
Yes.
With a little bit, with an ending or a, I don't want to say it's a twist, but an ending they might not see coming.
It's a twist ending. It twists a little bit, but it's not a negative twist, right?
Right.
It's not something traumatic or anything. But I'm an analog artist. I'm not a digital artist. So everything you see in there, I've drawn. Every single spider in there was drawn by hand. And that's insanity.
And Jason, I'll let you get back to yourself.
Thank
and
you, sir.
Thank
you
so
I appreciate
much.
It. Yeah.
And I'm glad you had fun at...
I always do. At Four State Comic Con.
At
hit,
Four State.
Hit me with the link, and I will absolutely
no
share
problem.
It. Yeah. So let me sign a book for you.
Yeah.
And now, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
It's a Long Coat Mafia Podcast!
You screaming up.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the interviews that we presented to you, and though we try to keep a lot of our content we get from events such as Four State Comic Con to be family friendly and available for everybody to listen to, because these gentlemen, especially Jason, are passionate about what they do and what they think, they had to be explicit and use profanity. So that is why we allowed the explicit rating to stay on this episode instead of taking it down. So there's that. And I, as always, even though I'm going to have try to have everybody's link in the description of this episode, if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that that you want me to pass along to any of these gentlemen, please send us an email to longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to pass it along to any of these gentlemen. And if they have any answers, I will read the question and answer on our next hostful that we do, and I'll get back to, I'll include it. If we have enough, we'll make a special episode for it. Now, that's pretty much it for this episode. Now, the standard procedure is me letting you know the best way you could support the show is by following us on the particular platform you're listening to us on. Or if you want to switch up the platform you listen to us on, feel free to find that platform listed in the description that's listed with this episode. And it'll lead you to the other platforms that may be available on your system. So... Or feel free to follow us on our social media outlets as well as our video outlets, whether it be Rumble or YouTube. Well, we haven't really posted up a lot to Rumble, but stay tuned there so you're able to release some of the content we do post up there. When we do post up there, we do favor YouTube a lot more than Rumble. And as always, that's the best way you could always support our channel is by hitting that follow button, that subscribe button. Podbean and Good Pods are the two best. A lot of folks will tell you Spotify and Apple Podcasts are the best. That may be true, That may be true. And Apple Podcasts may be free. But let me just tell you this. When we remove that E rating for that explicit rating on our shows, Apple Podcasts does not do that. So let us recommend Podbean or Good Pods. Because when we remove that E on our family-friendly episodes, everybody you'll know. So there's that. And the Podbean app and Good Pods are available for both iOS and Android systems. Plus, you're able to rate each individual episode, meaning if you really like this episode, you could hit that heart button on Podbean or rate us 5 stars on Good Pods and leave us a comment on that episode as to what you think. Or if you have a question, you're able to leave it on that episode. And like I said, don't forget to follow us on other platforms such as Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. If you want to send us a tip or something like that, those links are in the description as well. You don't have to, because we want you to follow us and help us grow. If any of the links are not working, please send us an email to longcoatmafia@gmail.com and let us know, and we'll get right on it to make sure that the links work and everything is taken care of. So that being said, I'll see you on the next episode, which will be a panel episode. So stay tuned for that. Hit that follow button because you don't want to miss out. And once again, I'm the Reverend Godfather, a.k.a. the Martinsburg Man-Man, and
I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.